Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. There's hot popcorn and cool refreshments in the lobby, and please remember, be courteous to those around you. No talking during the movies.
Welcome to another episode of No Talking During the Movies. I am your host, Stephen Austin, and our buddy Tank, who's the other co-host, he decided to tell me a couple hours before that he had vacation time today, so that's great. So I was like, all right, well, let's do a Star Wars episode, because May the 4th was recent. What was it, Monday? Monday, I think. But with me is Marianne, a friend I met on TikTok. Marianne, how are you doing today?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Please let people know who you are and why I've chosen you to be on the Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, my name is Marianne. On TikTok, I'm at Screaming Namaste, and a lot of what I talk about on TikTok is Star Wars.
And it's only perfect that I chose you. And I have been mocked by my buddy who I do the video game podcast with that I do and the movie podcast, that I am now TikTok famous, which I'm not, but they just want to keep putting that on me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to own it, and I got you today to join me, my other TikTok friend.
Yeah, if you're TikTok famous, then so am I.
Yeah.
You only have about 100 more than I do.
We're right there, right? We're neck and neck.
Yes. We're both right around 12,000, I think.
Yeah, I think I checked yours right before we went live, and it still was at like 11.9, and I'm like, come on, get there. Like,
we're rounding up. We're at 12,000.
We're currently live right now on TikTok, both of us doing a dual live, and I'm hoping that that will give you enough of a boost to get you, you know,
tied
at 12,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. But first question, because it's May the 4th, was a couple days ago, I have to ask you, in the, like, continuation, you know, it's Revenge of the Fifth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also I've also heard Revenge of the Sixth. Do you have a preference?
I always thought it was Revenge of the Fifth. I never really heard Revenge of the Sixth until on TikTok this year. I'd never heard it before.
That's interesting. I think it's just because Sixth sounds more like Sith. And I think that's why people say it. When I'm like, I think Return of the Sixth sound good if you want to keep the days going. So, you know, realistically, I remember the first time I heard Revenge of the Fifth, and I was just like, that's so cool, keeping the party rolling. And then I realized, like, nobody celebrates that other than, like, Star Wars.
Diehards.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Nobody's making a social media post for, like, McDonald's, like, hey, Revenge of the Fifth.
Well, I think it's because it has some competition. It's also Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, keep Star Wars Day going over another holiday. That's exactly what the diehards want.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're talking about literally Star Wars the entire podcast today. So for those people who normally show up for, like, Marvel talk, bye. But Marianne, I was going to ask you how, and it's so funny, I basically know all of these stories, but it's still good to get, you know, all the information out there, and it's always fun to talk about. So, Marianne, how did you get into Star Wars?
So, I first got into Star Wars when I was probably around, like, 7 or 8, around that age. They re-released A New Hope and a couple of the other original trilogy movies in the 90s, and so I got to see A New Hope on the big screen for the very first time, which is, like, the perfect introduction to Star Wars.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I've been hooked ever since. I loved it.
That's great. And, it's so, like, I heard this discussion brought up, maybe it was in one of the other podcasts that we did together, or maybe it was in just some TikTok chat thing. It was like, do you prefer the originals over the special editions? But I'm kind of like, the special editions are what they are now, so can you really, like, have a preference?
I know. I mean, that's the first time I saw it. I think mm-hmm. the 90s re-release, Lucas did them as the special edition,
right.
I'm pretty sure. So that's, like, what I grew up watching. So I didn't even really realize it was a special edition when I first saw it. And I mean, I think it's great. I like the updates to a lot of the graphics and, you know, the lightsabers and things mm-hmm. like that. I think aesthetically works well. I mean, Han shot first. That's just fact. But otherwise, I like the special effects.
So here's the thing. I can't remember who said this. It had to have been one of the other TikTok creators. They said something like, Han did shoot first, like, originally. That might have been a J. Kev Parker thing. He's another creator on this app who's actually the reason why I started following you because he stitched one of your videos, and I was like, oh, she seems cool, and then I followed you through that. But he made a comment about, like, Han shot first, like, but now it's Greedo, which, granted, I'm also on the side of, like, sure, Han definitely shot first, and it shows more of, like, the cold, stone cold, like, who he was, but now it's like, well, kind of can't change it. So.
I know. It's like, you know, I don't think it really matters at the end of the day.
Was that something, now I'm jumping all over my notes, was that something you liked in Solo? Because we already know that we're, like, we know this, but for other people, like, Solo and Rogue One are kind of on the iffy board for both of us. But is that something you liked in Solo, that he, like, shot first at the end of the movie?
There was, like, very little I liked about Solo. And it all revolves around Donald Glover, so I would say no.
I'm going to say, there was this great moment, what was it, Beckett or whatever, Woody Harrelson's character is like, all right, I hope you're paying attention, because this is the most important lesson I'm going to, and then Han shoots him, like, just as he's mid-sentence, which is like, it's a crazy moment, but it's also like, I get it, Han shot first. They're like, trying to make that, and then he gives away all the coaxium, because he's still a hero, and I'm just...
I know. I really don't like what they did to his character in that movie. It makes no sense going into A New Hope. And, well, I mean, did you want to talk about Solo now, or did you want to get to
it? Let's see. Let me see my notes here. We'll just skip it. We'll get to the favorite film and stuff later. Let's talk about the side movies right now. Rogue One and Solo. So talk more, like, go off more about how you're feeling about Solo.
I mean, yeah. So the thing with Solo is I just felt like it was a story that didn't need to be told.
No.
I liked that Han had this sort of mysterious background.
Right.
We didn't know a lot about him. There was a lot left to our imagination. And then the way they just sort of demystified his character by breaking down every single thing, making him into like this hero that he was not. And then how it was so rushed to answer like everything with his backstory. Like he has to meet Chewie. He has to meet Lando. He has to get the Millennium Falcon. He has to do the Kessel Run. His name. Like it was just too much. It's like we don't need those.
Quick, yeah. He literally had every defining moment in Han Solo's mythos and life happened in a few days, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I know. It seemed ridiculous. Like, he had the best week ever. Everything happened.
Now, granted, I still find it to be a fun film. I know you're not a huge fan of the actor who they got to portray to Han, but, I mean, Donald Glover does save a lot of, like, the young character face for that movie. He's just so good. I will say my most disappointing thing about that movie is how he got his name, because I've said it many of times where I'm just like, Solo is a name that could totally exist in the Star Wars universe. He doesn't have to be like, I'm alone.
I
so
know.
I'm a Solo. Like,
I
hated
know.
That.
I hated that. It's like, it could have just been his name,
for
you know?
Real. And I was like, I was feeling his story at that point too. Like I was feeling heartbroken with him about, like, you know, he loses Kira in that moment, which I know you're not a huge fan of her, but just like, you know, that moment for his character seemed harsh. It, like, oh man, maybe like him losing this young love is also what helped made him like this hardened criminal kind of deal. And then the cool idea of him being like, I need to get back to this planet as fast as I can, but I gotta get a ship first. So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna join the Imperial Army, which I thought was a cool idea for Han's backstory, if they're giving us backstory. And then the moment that guy named him Solo, I was like, and here we go.
I know.
So
I didn't even like that he joined the army, honestly. I liked the idea that he was just kind of like this rogue person off on his own, doing his own thing, making his way through the galaxy. It just, I don't know, it just didn't fit with the image I had in my head of who Han was.
That's the other thing. I can't remember who said it, but a long time ago, I heard somebody say something along the lines of, like, Han Solo was a character that we already had in our minds an idea of who he was as a young man growing up into the character that he was when we see him in A New Hope. And to take that from us is, like, something they obviously can do and tell this other story. But also, when they take all these things and rip it away from who Han is, like, I don't see him giving away all of this free fuel that will fund this future rebellion when he's supposed to be a bad guy when we meet him. He's supposed to be, like, not a bad guy, but a bad boy. He's supposed to be, like, this guy that you don't trust.
And he has, like, no interest in helping this old man who's trying to, like, you know, get him to pilot a ship. Like,
save the galaxy, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and he has no interest in helping once he does get to know them. You know, Leia's like, if the reward is all that matters, that's all you'll get, or something like that. And it's like that was all that mattered to him. He was so motivated by his own interest.
And it wasn't until these relationships that he made with these people that made him decide to be a hero. And that's his character arc in A New Hope. I don't want to see him being a hero.
Exactly.
Now, I do like... This is something I do like from Solo. I do like Kira telling him that she thinks that he's a good guy. I do like that. I like the idea that she sees him as a good guy and he's so reluctant to say no. I think that's good. I like the idea of his character trying to be a bad boy. It almost fuels more into Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is a good guy who tries so hard to be a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that it's like a like father, like son deal, but I would have liked to see Han be a bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it makes more sense with Kylo Ren because it's like he has this internal struggle constantly. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Han, he's just, as far as we knew him in A New Hope, he just didn't care that much to have that internal struggle. He's just kind of indifferent. He's looking out for himself. Like, he's good. He doesn't need them. Right. So it was weird, you know? It was weird. I just felt like it was something that didn't need to be done. And I was one of those people that was like, I am not going to pay money to go see this because I don't want them doing this to any other characters.
Talk about another thing that didn't need to be done. But it did happen anyways. Rogue One. So it's so funny. I actually saw one of my favorite creators on TikTok made a video for May the 4th, and it was why Rogue One is his absolute favorite Star Wars movie. And his reasonings, granted, were fine. Like, stuff that I didn't agree with, all of them, like he said, the characters were fantastic. And I'm like, I didn't agree with that, but that's fine. Everybody's obviously free to have their own different opinions and stuff. But one of the other things he said was, which I thought was very telling, he said, this is my favorite Star Wars movie because it doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie. And I'm like, that's why it's not my favorite Star Wars movie.
Same here. Because even with all of my criticisms about Solo, it still feels like a Star Wars movie to me. And that's why, for me personally, I would put it above Rogue One. Because I think it's a really fun movie. It's a fun adventure movie. Sure. Donald Glover kills it. Like, I, you know, can put it on and just, like, enjoy it for the adventure that it is. I just personally don't like it because of what we just talked about, certain nitpicky type things with the character. But with Rogue One, it doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie, and that's why it's dead last. It doesn't have, like, that humor. It doesn't have the charismatic characters. It doesn't have, you know, the typical adventure arc. It moves very, very slowly, and I feel like a lot of the characters just are not charismatic. I mean, having said that, I appreciate that it's the most diverse cast a Star Wars movie has had. And I just felt like the writing could have been so much better for these characters.
Which, it's funny, I made a video about having a conversation with a guy who said the reason why he didn't like Rogue One is because they tried to force diversity on him. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then when I made the video about that, so many people, most of the comments I got were people saying, I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice the cast. Like, that is the goal, right? Like, it's a diverse cast, but you're not like... You don't notice it because you're more concerned about everything else going on. These are just people living in the galaxy, which is exactly what a diverse cast should be.
But also, I think the people who do notice more are people who are seeing themselves. Like, I know that I always notice when there is, like, it's being led by a woman. Because I know I was excited about that at first, that it was a Star Wars movie being led by a woman. I was disappointed with her performance and the writing around her character, but I still think it's important to show, like, females being a hero, especially in movies that get a lot of kids to see them.
There are plenty of people, especially on TikTok, that we've noticed who absolutely love Jyn Erso's character, which, as much as we don't agree, it's like, we can't take that away from them. If you love her character, that's fantastic. Like,
yeah, I would never want to be one of those, you know, toxic fans that's like, no, you shouldn't like it. It's awful. So even though I personally don't care for Rogue One and Solo, it's like they're still canon. Mm-hmm. I can still appreciate that they're good movies. They're fun movies. And I'm glad that if other people like them, you know, that's awesome. Not everything appeals to everyone. For instance, I'm a huge fan of The Rise of Skywalker, and I know that many people are not. Right. So, you know, it just depends on the person, what people like, and that's cool. That's what makes the fandom better. We all have different interests.
I think that's a great segue to talking about our just favorites of things. So let's go through each trilogy and just name our favorite film in each trilogy, and then we'll kind of say our favorite of all of them. So prequel films, what's your absolute favorite prequel film?
Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm. It's mine too, yeah.
It's not a lot of competition.
Arguably, I would say it's, like, obviously the best. Like, I've seen people... I see so many rankings where I see people put Attack of the Clones higher than Phantom Menace, and I think you do too, right? You put it personally higher?
Yeah, I've heard that too. I know some people that think that also. And, you know, and that's cool. Different things appeal to different people.
Sure.
Personally, I just felt like I loved the interpersonal drama in Revenge of the Sith. I did not like what they did with Padme's character. That's my least favorite that movie. You know, she just gets sad and decides to die over a man. It's just...
It's so heartbreaking, really. I mean, not for her, but for us. Yeah, that always upset me. But, you know, it's probably the most quotable, I would argue, probably the most quotable Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
probably.
Every frame in that movie is a meme. you underestimate my power. That's one.
Yes. You know,
there's so many of these, like, great moments. And I think it's a really good story. I think that is probably the best that the prequels gave us. And I think it moves really well too. Like, I remember being young and like the moment that the opening sequence is over, which I remember being the most exciting part of the film. I remember when Anakin's like going to hug Padme, I remember being like, snore, like, cause I'm like a young idiot who like doesn't care. And then the moment Obi-Wan was like, off to find General Grievous, I'm like, oh, I'm in again. Like, it's a really fast-paced film, too. And I think it's, like, it's a pretty long one as well.
Yeah, it is. It is fast-paced. And I think the performances are really good, too. Yes. Like, I think Ewan McGregor, I mean, he's a great actor already, but he just kills it. Like, my heart just breaks every time he's like, you know, I loved you. You were like a brother. Like, it's just, it just wrecks me. It's so sad.
Yeah. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah, so the acting performances are so good for Ewan. And I think I heard this wonderful breakdown of, like, who shines the most in the prequels. And it's normally, like, Ewan McGregor and Palpatine. And the reason why is because they are going along with the campiness that is Star Wars. And people cannot deny it. They're pretty campy movies at times. Mm-hmm. And when you play to that, the acting comes off more authentic in that universe. So... Ewan giving this amazing performance with these, you know, hilarious dialogue, you know, out of context, you know, but that works so well in the Star Wars universe works. And it's the same thing with Emperor Palpatine, where Palpatine is also just hamming it up and he's having a great time and everybody loves his performance because of it. Like, Ian McDiarmid does such a wonderful job as Palpatine.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. I think that there's a certain level of sincerity that sells it as well. Just like, you know, when Mark Hamill was doing scenes with Yoda, you know, he's just so sincere and he's just talking to, you know, a puppet. And I think that that sincerity sells it to the audience and brings you into that world, you know.
Absolutely.
You just accept it.
Well, you were just mentioning it. Let's talk about the original trilogy. What's your absolute favorite film from the original trilogy?
So for the longest time, it was Empire Strikes Back, but now I would have to say A New Hope. For me, it's just, I have such nostalgic ties to it. It was the first Star Wars movie I ever saw. It's such a complete story. I love A New Hope.
That's so great. And, you know, I feel like New Hope, more to what you were saying about it being a complete story, that movie could have bombed at the box office, and we never got more Star Wars anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been okay because that story is complete. Like, there's teases that could keep going, like what happened to Darth Vader, but he's just spinning off into the space. But character arcs are complete. There's hope at the end. Like, they defeated the big baddie, even though the big baddie had more to go on. You know what I mean? So, like, A New Hope really is, like, probably the perfect Star Wars movie. It's not my favorite of the original trilogy, but it's probably just the perfect one because it has a strong beginning, middle, and end. And out of context of everything else, people can enjoy it no matter what.
Exactly. And that's why for, like, new Star Wars fans, I always recommend starting with A New Hope. Like, watch them in release order. Don't start with Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
No hate, but I just feel like A New Hope will just engage new fans in a way that Phantom Menace just does not.
I've tried I got a friend of mine into Star Wars for the first time, and they were like, are we starting with episode one? And I said, absolutely not. We gotta do release order. And they're like, oh, okay. Why? And I was like, you'll see. So I took them through the release order, and the moment we got to Phantom Menace, we ended Phantom Menace. They looked at me, and they said, yeah, if you had shown me this first, I don't think I would have wanted to continue watching Star Wars. And I'm like, yeah, because Phantom Menace is okay. It's an okay film.
Yeah.
New Hope is perfect, and it shoots everything off from there. So, yeah.
And I think you see it in a totally different light also when you start with the prequels. You see it more as Anakin's story and less of the Skywalker family story.
Yes.
And I think that's part of it also with why people now who were like raised on the prequels before seeing the original trilogy or whatever have such a dislike for the sequels, because they're like, oh, Anakin's arc, Anakin's story, he's not even like mentioned. And I think that's because they, you know, grew up with the prequels where it was more centered on Anakin, whereas, you know, really it's the Skywalker saga.
Exactly, 100%. And I think that's also why I love the prequels in a way, is because just like you, I got to watch the original trilogy first. And you learn his name. He's mentioned by name. Darth Vader killed your father, Anakin Skywalker. And then you learn Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. You know the name Anakin Skywalker a little bit. And then say you didn't see any marketing. You had no idea what Phantom Menace was going to be about. Could you imagine seeing this little kid on Tatooine and he says his name is Anakin Skywalker, and all you can think is, that kid, that 9-year-old little street rat kid, becomes Darth Vader. Like, that's mind-blowing, and that should draw people in. If you go in not knowing who Anakin Skywalker is, I don't think you get the same interest.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason George Lucas started in the middle of his story instead of at that beginning, because I think it makes it more interesting to watch, like you said, for that reason.
Absolutely. So my favorite is Empire. I think that's the standard stereotypical answer for most people. I think I just like the pacing, and literally every scene of Empire I just love. Even though, like, our main cast, like, Luke's not with, you know, Han and Leia and C-3PO and R2-D2 and Chewbacca. Like, he's not with them for most of the film. Pretty much 90% of it. And that's upsetting. But I love everything with him and Yoda, and I love everything with the rest of them off on their own adventure, just trying to escape the Empire. So every time that we switched back and forth, there was no lull for me. Like, there is no sitting, listening to the plans of the Death Star in A New Hope. It was like, because that never interested me growing up. Whereas this, I was like, what are Han, Leia, and Chewie going to do? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Their scene ends, and I'm like, back to training. Like, I loved that.
Yeah, it's so funny because I used to really like those dynamics as well. But now I think I even like Return of the Jedi a little bit more.
More than
Empire?
Because
it brings them all back together again.
Right.
It has more Lando in it. I loved Lando.
I love Lando.
So I don't know. I go back and forth. I feel like for me, whatever Star Wars movie I watched most recently is the one I loved the most. And I watched Return of the Jedi most recently.
And For Return of the Jedi, I think that's why I love Return of the Jedi more, is because I've already gotten all this time for Empire where they're separated, and then Return of the Jedi is like, oh, now the gang's back together, and I like that feeling of the gang's back together, you know what I mean? So I feel like Empire was almost needed to split them up and then to get a bit. I mean, literally, the opening scene of that movie is, we've got to go get Han. And then the crew's together, and like all of them show up at one time or another, you know, like Lando brings Chewie.
Yeah, and the humor is so good in that movie. I love the banter between Luke and Han when they're back on Tatooine.
I grew up here. You're gonna die here. So good. And I do want to correct before anybody corrects me. I know Leia brought Chewie. Sorry, Lando was already there before, disguised as a guard. by the way, Leia's best outfit is in Return of the Jedi, and it's her in that bounty hunter outfit.
Yes,
she looks so good in that movie. Yeah,
that's what I've always said. I mean, okay, first of all, has Leia ever looked bad? Let's be honest. Every outfit looks amazing on her.
Even when the little teddy bear things braided her hair.
Yeah, she owns every single one of her looks,
absolutely.
But I agree. Her bounty hunter look's my favorite.
That's absolutely my favorite, too. And it's got to get more love at some point, but, you know, for right now. All right, sequel trilogy. What's your favorite? What's your favorite of the sequel
Rise
trilogy?
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker. I am a Last Jedi stan, which is so funny because this is something that we could potentially talk about later. Or we could talk about it now if you want. These are probably the most talked about in a bad light Star Wars movies today. You know what I mean? Like Last Jedi gets a lot of hate, and I feel like Rise of Skywalker gets a lot of hate. Rise of Skywalker gets a lot of hate for something I don't think is 100% deserved because they're ending off 9 movies in a 3-hour film that's just impossible. Like, honestly, if Rise of Skywalker had a part 2, I would have been fine with it because they need the time. Janna should not be a character that is just introduced, has like 5 minutes of screen time, and then is supposed to be like a part of the crew at the end. I wanted more time with her. I wanted more time with Rose. But again, I know they kind of made the movie around the fact that Carrie Fisher wasn't alive anymore. But I think it still works. I think the movie's fast-paced. I think a lot of the scenes work. The adventure aspect, and kind of the same as I know you've pointed out that Rise of Skywalker is very much a Return of the Jedi. Like, they make a lot of references.
And that's what I loved about it, whereas I felt like The Force Awakens was very much imitating A New Hope, whereas Rise of Skywalker was like paying tribute to Return of the Jedi, I appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, I loved the pacing of it. I know some people felt like it moved too fast, but that's why I liked it so much. It really held my attention because it was moving so fast.
I think sometimes you need that for Star Wars, though. I think you need fast pace sometimes for Star Wars, and especially in a 3-hour film that's supposed to end everything. Like, give me fast pacing, please.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved, like, my absolute favorite part of that movie was seeing Jedi Leia. I loved it. Like the flashback to her with Luke, and then her training Rey, being called master. It was so good. I loved it so much. Cause that's what I always wanted as a kid when I was watching Return of the Jedi. I always wanted Leia to be a Jedi and Leia to use the Force. So I was just so happy to see that.
Right. And that's honestly such a wonderful moment. And I think that's also why I love Rey's journey so much more, because not only is she at the end taking up the name Skywalker, but she also takes, like, Luke's lightsaber, his classic lightsaber, technically Anakin's lightsaber. She takes Leia's lightsaber, and with both of them combined and the force of her and all of the Jedi of the past, that is what defeats the most evil being in the galaxy, Palpatine. Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful because it's giving everybody their part to play. Without Anakin and Luke's lightsaber, she wouldn't have that. Without Leia's lightsaber and her contribution, she wouldn't have that. And without all the Jedi's voices sending her through to be that powerful, like, she wouldn't have defeated Palpatine. But it's through her and through that power and through all of their contributions that they are able to finally defeat him. And I think that's why I like her journey so much, because she really does become all the Jedi. And I love that so much. And really, Rise of Skywalker gets a lot of hate for no reason.
I loved the ending. I felt like it was really dramatic, and it had a huge payoff. And honestly, I loved that she ended up being a Palpatine. And I know that so many people complain about that, but for me, I hated the Rey nobody thing because to me, it's like this big messy family like drama.
Sure.
You know, everyone's related, everyone knows each other, everyone's intertwined. So to me, it made no sense that someone who has nothing to do with anyone, that, you know, Anakin's lightsaber would be calling out to her in The Force Awakens, but she's just like a nobody. Like, to me, it never made sense.
I get that.
So I was really happy she ended up being someone. I would have been happy if she was a Kenobi, a Skywalker, a Solo. I didn't care. I just wanted her to be someone because I thought that only made sense after The Force Awakens. And besides, as far as like a nobody, there's plenty of nobodies who've had, you know, good arcs, like Rose. Well, Rose didn't have a great arc, but she was a nobody. Janna was a nobody. Finn, Poe, even Han at first was a nobody. So I just felt like we already got that with many, many characters.
So why not have the main character be
to be as someone? Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I was happy that she ended up being a Palpatine.
Yeah. And I remember being happy with the Rey nobody thing at the time when it was said in The Last Jedi, because I remembered thinking like, oh, this is supposed to be our Luke, I'm your father line. Mm-hmm. Like, this is supposed to be the moment that she learns her lineage, and it's supposed to heartbreak her. And really, if she learned she was a Palpatine then, or if she learned she was a Skywalker then, or a Kenobi, like, I feel like the impact in that movie would not have been as strong as you're nobody. It doesn't make sense, but you're nobody, which I loved. I loved that in The Last Jedi. But then
yeah,
it's
I
the
like
reveal.
It now.
Right.
Because I like it now, looking back on it, because it's like this misdirection, you know, sort of like,
totally,
you know, just confusing her story even more of who she is. So yeah. I like it now because she ended up being someone.
Which is
At the time, I didn't fully, like, believe it. I was like, no, she can't be nobody. They wouldn't, you know, set her up like this to be nobody. So I never got that feeling like, oh, it's Empire Strikes Back, I'm your father. I was just like, no, this has to be some kind of, like, misdirection.
Well, and I think that's why I liked it, was because we as an audience are expecting a no, I'm your father moment.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to learn her lineage and be heartbroken or happy, whatever. But regardless, she is heartbroken when she learns she's a nobody. And I think that's why it worked for me. It's like, oh, look at that, the twist. It's like, you aren't special, but you are, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the reveal in Rise of Skywalker is even better, when she's trying to force grab that ship out of the sky and lightning comes out, which, like, I don't think I've ever told this story where, like, I also was like, whoa, like mind blown in the theater. There was a guy in the theater I was in at the moment who screamed, I knew it! Like, the moment that it happened. And I was like, that guy is very happy that Chewbacca just died.
Yeah.
So funny.
No, it's so funny. The minute she did that, I was like, oh my God, she's got to be a Palpatine. And I just, like I said, I loved that decision for her.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. So, yeah. So what's your favorite film out of all of the movies we've kind of been talking
out
about?
Of all Star Wars movies, I would say A New Hope.
New Hope.
For all the reasons we said. I have a lot of nostalgic ties. It's such a good story. It's the perfect Star Wars movie. That would be my favorite out of everything.
And mine is probably Rogue One. Okay. It's Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back is all the way up there, and I cannot get enough of that movie. Every time I watch it, I have a absolute fantastic time.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
All right, well, we got, like, new Star Wars stuff in the works, and we've gotten a lot of good stuff recently, too. Mandalorian is probably one of the biggest things that's gotten people back into Star Wars, or introduced a lot of people into Star Wars, because it's, you know, a new take. It's yep. Not necessarily force-driven until, you know, it is. What do you think? I don't think you and me personally have talked enough about Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you were also just like, you know, I was hearing people when it first came out, this is the best Star Wars content we've gotten since the original trilogy, like mm-hmm. that high of praise. And I was pretty much there too at the time that it came out. I don't think I would put it there anymore, but it's still like so wonderful. Were you also just like on that bandwagon, and are you still there?
No. No, I mean, I like The Mandalorian. I think it's really fun. I love Baby Yoda, Grogu, obviously. I love him. Who doesn't? But I found it very slow moving. And, you know, if I'm being quite honest, the whole character of the week that helps them solve their little problem to then go on to the next thing, it got kind of old for me.
So
It got kind of old. It doesn't mean I don't like the show, but I would absolutely say I like the sequels more than The Mandalorian.
Right.
Because The Mandalorian was very predictable. It was very, like, the same formula every single sure. week. Very slow moving. But I still really enjoyed it.
I will say, you mentioned, I think, that same feeling about Mandalorian after or on your TikTok live last night. And I think I sent something in the chat like, oh, we got to talk about this. And we'll probably talk about it again tonight when we do a TikTok live. I like the whole guest of the week trope. And the reason being is because it was the same reason why a lot of people at the time were like, this show is too episodic. Like I want to know more about Grogu. I want to get to the, like, at the time he's Baby Yoda. I want to know more about all of that. I want to know what all of this means kind of deal. I think I was very much in the seat of, I would be fine if this show went on forever and it's just an adventure. Like, I was very much in that category.
Yeah.
So the guest of the week thing, it really did feel like a classic, like 60s or 70s cowboy TV show, where every now and then we'd have a new bad guy played by some other like Hollywood actor. Like, I really loved that. And of course, obviously, I loved Grogu's story and us learning more about him, and of course the ending that we got in season two. But I was very much in the field of like, I'm really enjoying this story that they're telling through the episodic formula. Now, of course, I'm on the side of like, what's going on with Baby Yoda? I need to know what happened to Grogu, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
season 3.
Yeah,
that's how I was one of those people that's like, I want answers. I want to know who he is. I want to know what's going on. Like, I want, like, the actual story. I don't want their little, you know, adventures. I want to know, like, who they are and what's going on and why. So for me, I did get very impatient with it at certain points.
And I'm definitely more on that bandwagon now. Now that, like, season two is so big and bombastic at the end that I was just like, I need more. And, you know, we're going to get Book of Boba Fett and then season three. And we got plenty of things in the works. Speaking of which, what is your most anticipated, like, Star Wars project that's coming out? Like, do you have anything that's...
Definitely the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. By far. It's not even close for me. I'm so excited. Ewan and Hayden Christensen are coming back. I'm just super excited to see this.
I'm right there with you. And it's so funny, too, because I try to think of other things that are on that list for me. Like, somebody mentioned the other night, I don't know if they're calling it Rogue Squadron. Yeah, they are calling it Rogue Squadron, and it's a dogfighter movie, but it's spaceships and Patty Jenkins directing it. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so good. I totally forgot that was happening because I'm focusing way too heavy on the fact that Kenobi's happening, like Obi-Wan Kenobi's happening, and I need that now.
Yeah, same. That's same.
There's other great projects like Visions and obviously the Ahsoka show, which many people are excited for. I'm excited for it just because I really loved Rosario Dawson's performance as her.
I did too. I thought she was awesome. Right. I loved her in The Mandalorian.
And I like. Do you know the story about how she got casted? I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
It was literally like a fan art. And she was like, yeah, let's make this happen. And then it happened. Exactly. Like, keep that happening, please. Like, that's so perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, she did a fantastic job. And I think it's only earned that she's going to get her own show. Really, I think Star Wars has a great, like, bright future for it. I look forward to just about everything that they're coming out with. And anything else that we're going to get is fantastic.
Exactly. I totally agree. And that's the thing. When people are like, oh, Disney ruined Star Wars. It's like, without Disney, we wouldn't have any new Star Wars content. We wouldn't have Galaxy's Edge at Disney World and stuff like that. You know, they've added so much. And so I definitely don't think Disney ruined Star Wars. And even if certain people don't like certain things, you have to at least appreciate all the new material we're getting.
Absolutely.
From them.
And that was honestly one of my favorite things. Some TikTok comment I got where some guy was like, well, it's a good thing the sequels aren't going to be canon anymore. The only thing that's canon is Mandalorian. And I said, only the Mandalorian. Luke, Han, Leia, they never happened. It's just Mandalorian. I'm like,
yeah, I don't think Disney's going to spend like billions of dollars on a sequel trilogy just to decanonize it.
Exactly. And that guy clearly was like, you know what I meant. I didn't mean the original trilogy or the prequels. And I'm like, you sound exactly like these people that when the prequels came out, you were just screaming to the heavens like, I don't like it. Like,
I know. There's always been angry fans since, like, A New Hope, really.
Yeah.
Anything
new. And honestly, what was it? Oh, man, I totally lost my train of thought. It was something along the lines of, like, people will always dislike Star Wars, but their reasonings are always ridiculous because it's always the loudest voices that get heard, right? So when Force Awakens came out, I loved it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was great. I loved the new characters we saw. There was, like, reveals and stuff that just blew me away. And all I heard was good things about it when it came out. Months down the line, I'm hearing, ugh, Force Awakens. It's just A New Hope again. Why don't they give us something new? And then Rian Johnson gives us The Last Jedi, which is so new and breaks everything that you knew about Star Wars that people are like, this is not what I wanted at all, you know? And of course, well, it's just the loudest voices that you're listening to.
It's funny because when The Force Awakens first came out, I was one of those people that was less than thrilled. I still am, if I'm being quite honest. I did like the characters. I did like a lot of it, but it's my least favorite out of the sequel trilogy. And that's solely because it feels so much like something I've already seen.
And like that's also something that I think I mentioned last night on one of your on your live. Somebody was talking about how much, I think it was our friend Aaron. She mentioned so much how much they love Force Awakens. And I think I said something like, Force Awakens is a perfect movie if you don't know any other, like, Star Wars material.
I think you that's get a great so much enjoyment. To new people, too.
Totally. Because you don't see the reasons why it's just like A New Hope. And honestly, at the time that I watched it, I didn't notice, too. Because all I was focused on was just, like, it's new Star Wars. That's all I want.
Yeah.
It's new Star
Wars.
That's
the thing. I, you know, while I didn't love certain parts of it, I still was so excited to, like, see another Star Wars movie, see it on the big screen, especially seeing Leia and Han again, Chewie. Right. Like, oh my gosh, there was so much of it that I loved. And I loved Rey. So, and I loved Kylo Ren. Like, there was just so much of it I really did love. But like I said, if I had to choose a least favorite out of the sequels, it would be that, just because it was very similar to A New Hope in a lot of ways.
The last time I did my watch through of all the movies, when I got to Force Awakens, I literally, like, hit myself over the head, and I was just like, I forgot how much fun this movie is. Like, it's really good.
I love that Han's humor is, like, just like it was
so
in the original trilogy. I loved it.
That's not how the Force works. So good. So great. I'll do what I do all the time. I'll talk my way out of it. Chewie with a little growl, and he's like, every time. I do it every time. So good.
Yeah, that stuff was so good to see again. I just loved that.
I think the humor was really on point in that movie too. And that's probably why I always put it up there as, like, just the most fun. Because Rise of Skywalker has these ups and downs where it's fun and then it's heartbreaking and then it's, you know, like, learning she's a Palpatine, thinking Chewie died, and then, you know, all of this and all of that, and it's up and downs. Last Jedi seems like a complete downward spiral of just, like, upsetting depression all the time, because it's gotta be Empire, it's gotta be sad. Whereas Force Awakens, I feel like it's literally just like, hey, remember Star Wars? Let's have fun, because it's Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, the biggest cheer I think I heard in the theater for a Star Wars movie was when Finn and Rey are running away from the TIE fighters, and she says, we gotta take that quad jumper or something, and he's like, what about that one? And she's like, not that one, it's garbage. Quad jumper blows up, camera pans to the side as she goes, the garbage will do, camera pans, and it's the Millennium Falcon. And the cheers I heard, like, I'm getting so smiley about it now, because I just remember being so happy.
I was one of those people cheering. I was like, yes,
exactly. And of course, because it's like, the garbage will do. It's a piece of junk. Everybody says it's a piece of junk. But it's like the best and most recognizable ship for Star Wars fans. So
I loved it.
Yeah, it's so really the sequels have given me so much enjoyment. And it's only because it's all new content. And that's what I mean, where I'm like, the future of Star Wars is bright. They're going to give us very interesting deep dives into the Force and what these characters mean and what Ahsoka's been doing and maybe something with the sequel characters one day and what happened to Grogu. You know, we're going to get all these really good stories. But at the end of the day, I just want to see more laser swords and blasters and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be Star Wars.
Well, I'm actually curious. I don't even know if I know the answer to this, but what makes The Last Jedi your favorite out of the sequels?
Luke. Which I know is, like, the most differing opinion. Everybody hates Luke in that movie. Or not everybody, but a lot of people do. I think it's the thing that made Jesus a man. Like, that's the thing. I know plenty of Star Wars fans, some of who I'm related to, that hold Luke Skywalker into this, like, godly other realm where I'm like, in the original trilogy, he's the most reactionary, like, emotional character of them all. And Yoda and Obi-Wan are constantly telling him that's going to be his downfall. And then when he starts playing into the hand of the Jedi, that's when everything goes wrong. And what does he do? He does exactly what Yoda does, and he mixes it with what Luke would do. And that is a reactionary, I'm going into exile because he realizes that the Jedi keep failing, so maybe it's time for the Jedi to end. And it's this heartbreaking, I don't like to see Luke sad. I don't like to see Hermit Luke like this. But the fact that he has this, like, new introspective outlook on Luke Skywalker the man is not Luke Skywalker the myth. Because to the galaxy, Luke Skywalker could go out in front of all of those AT-ATs at the end of the movie, take all those blaster bullets, lift up his hands, and crush them into a giant ball. Because he's Luke Skywalker, the Jedi. He's that guy. But he can't do that. So yeah. When he does probably some of the most powerful force abilities at the end of that movie, and he force projects himself with a clean cut and wearing an outfit that's very similar to what he wore in
Return of the... I love that scene. He's just like...
Exactly. And like he's hamming it up, and he's using his classic lightsaber in that fight, even though we just saw it get destroyed. He's doing all of these things that, for the galaxy, that is Luke Skywalker taking on the First Order with nothing but a laser sword. Like, that is exactly what the myth does. And it inspires hope. To the point that at the end of the movie, it is these little kids playing with toys that are reenacting the scene that we just saw of him facing down the AT-ATs. And what happens? They look up into the sky and dream about being Jedis themselves. And they use the Force. Mm-hmm. And that alone is what makes me love the idea of, like, Star Wars, and I think I asked the question too. I said, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Star Wars? I did this for May the 4th, and somebody said hope. Mm. And that's really, like, the word hope is thrown around in Star Wars as much as it is a blaster. You know what I mean? Like, hope is thrown around constantly. But that is what we get at the end of The Last Jedi. We get hope that the galaxy will now fight on because of Luke Skywalker and the man and the myth he is. And that's what makes him change his perspective in Rise of Skywalker, where, you know, I've seen plenty of people be like, why would he throw it away at the beginning of Last Jedi? But then Rise of Skywalker, he says a Jedi's weapon needs to be handled with care. Why would he do that? That's completely contrarian to his character. And I'm like, that was his character arc in The Last Jedi. He learns the importance of who he is in the galaxy and what his name means to the galaxy, which is also why Rey takes the name Skywalker, because she can now be that hope for the galaxy. So The Last Jedi just sets up a lot of that stuff for me. There's things, obviously, I don't like. I don't like how they handled Finn and Rose's character. I would have liked it if Poe went with them on that adventure instead of keeping him locked on a ship, just having a shouting match every other scene. Like,
yeah, I didn't care for any of those storylines. And for me, that's why it's not my favorite. I like it more than The Force Awakens. But, and, you know, just listening to you talk about Luke, I agree with that. I think it makes sense, you know, in a way for that to have happened to Luke. Of course, you know, he's not going to be this bright-eyed optimist his entire life.
No.
It just wasn't necessarily what I wanted to see for Luke as, like, the last time. You know, we haven't seen Luke at that time since Return of the Jedi. So it's like, you know, it would have been nice to have seen Luke sort of more at the top of his game. But I understand why they did what they did.
Which, yeah, I love The Last Jedi Luke even more now because we got to see him at the top of his game at the end of Mandalorian season 2. And I've heard a lot of people say that. They're like, I love The Last Jedi Luke now because of Mandalorian.
That was very satisfying.
It was satisfying to see Luke at his best. And who knows, maybe we'll get more of that in other future content or an animated show if we have to see it through that way.
I would love that.
But for right now, like, I was happy that Luke had a very satisfying character arc from beginning, middle, and end. Now, we didn't really see the middle that we're talking about. We got a little hint of it at Mandalorian season 2's finale. But I'm just happy that we got a full story, I guess. And Luke is one of my favorite characters. He's not my favorite from the original trilogy. He's not my, you know. But he's probably the character that I was most interested in to his character growth and his arc. And why would he be a Jedi if he could use anger to fight Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi? Well, that's just because he's stronger than most. And that was the stuff that I loved. And the stuff that I loved about Rey's character, too. She struggles with the dark side through all of her journey from The Last Jedi to Rise of Skywalker. And the fact that she has that struggle to then come back and then be the new hope for the galaxy is like, oh, it means everything to me. I don't know. I just like Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I'm so puzzled when people say Rey never struggled, because she struggles so much. Like, first of all, she has all the losses. You know, she lost her parents, like every single mentor she ever had, Han, Luke, Leia, her dyad. You know, she lost everything, and she struggled with her identity, her place in the story, her place in the universe, her abandonment on Jakku, coming to terms with, you know, being a Palpatine and the dark side. She struggled so much, and we saw her trained so much too, you know, with Luke and Leia. So we saw so much of that. So I'm always confused when people say, oh, it came too easy for her, or she never struggled, because, you know, that's just not what we saw.
It's that bias thing. Like, people just, Luke said he was a pilot, and then we saw him as a pilot, and then we bought it. Like, she said she was a pilot, and she struggled at being a pilot, but we saw it, and still people were like, that doesn't make any sense. It's
like, I mean, they even have Finn questioning her in the movie.
In the movie, yeah.
You know, she says you? She'll fly it. He's like, you're going to do this? So, yeah. I mean...
Well, it ain't going to be you, Stormtrooper. Like... Yeah, I'm sorry, you said you crashed a TIE fighter to get here? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. That wasn't because of any flying abilities. But, yeah, it's like there's plenty of moments that confirm her character's strengths and her weaknesses. And I feel like people are just actively trying to block that out so they can have their argument of, well, Luke's a better character than Rey. Which nobody's, like, trying to have that argument.
Yeah,
but people want
different
to fight.
People appeal to different,
absolutely.
You know,
like,
totally.
And we've we've always said, like, if you like Luke's arc and you don't like Rey's arc, then you weren't paying attention to Luke's arc, because it's the exact same.
They had very similar arcs, yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, is there anything else that you're, like, super excited for Star Wars, or anything that you wanted to talk about? We've barely talked about, like, Kylo and Ben Solo, but I don't know. We're going on 50 minutes here. What do you think?
I mean, I wish we saw more Ben Solo, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the things I dislike about Rise of Skywalker. I did not like that he died. I like that Rey's carrying on the Skywalker name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're just so invested in his family, you know, four generations now. And, you know, we briefly saw Ben Solo right there at the very end before he died. And now, you know, it's another loss for Rey. And it's like literally half of her. It's just, I wish he would have lived, honestly.
Yeah. I thought I was okay with him dying. But the more and more that I hear other people's opinions about it, like, it's starting to change my thing, too, where I would have really enjoyed, and I think we might have had this discussion before, I really would have enjoyed, like, a traveling Ben Solo who is a criminal to the Resistance and, you know, the New Republic or whatever. Like, he is a criminal, but I would have really liked to see a traveling Ben Solo maybe, like, completely changes his look, wears a hood all the time, and he's just going town to town on the Outer Rim, helping people, trying to redeem for all the horrible things that he did as Kylo Ren, his dark side.
Yeah, and I think that would make sense because we saw so much conflict within him the entire time. He wants to be bad, but he's still good. And we saw that back and forth. So I think it would have been very compelling if he finally, you know, the good one, and his mom's sacrifice and his uncle's sacrifice and his dad being killed because of him, that it all would have paid off. You know,
exactly.
And that's the other thing, because Han, Luke, and Leia all died because of him.
It's true.
And then to have him die also.
It's like,
you know, it kind of stings even more. I wish that their sacrifices would have been to, like, save the last of their bloodline.
At the end of the day, the only people standing are the new characters and Chewbacca.
Poor Chewie.
Poor Chewie.
Like, everyone he's ever known and loved.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have seen more of Ben. I did like seeing his story. I think the sequels are very strong in the fact that they are telling the story of two heroes, but one who doesn't want to be one. Because their screen time is very much shared, I think, Last Jedi onwards. I mean, he's still teased as, like, the big baddie Darth Vader stand-in in The Force Awakens, but the fact that we are really getting this character study and development between both of them at the same time, and that makes the whole dyad thing more interesting. Like, I love that. So,
yeah, especially after The Last Jedi, I totally agree. It had more of that back and forth with him, so I think it would have been really cool just to have him live.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could pick apart any movie, really, if
it's
we sat
true.
Down and dissected it. On a whole, though, I really enjoy all the Star Wars movies, even for criticisms I said today. You know, I think they're really fun movies, and I really love them.
Yep, me too. I love Star Wars. I'm excited to see what the future has to hold, but you know what? I'm sure by next May 4th, we're going to have plenty of new content to talk about. So
I know. I can't wait for that. I'm really hoping they even continue the sequel stories with those characters, whether it's a show or, you know, something. I want to see more.
Yeah, many people like to point out that we didn't get enough time with the sequel characters, so we can't like them as much. And I'm like, you realize we got 7 seasons of Clone Wars, which built characters better. Like, Padme is a better character now because of Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with Rebels, where it's like, we didn't get a lot of time with original trilogy characters, but we got a whole other show like involved in the original trilogy timeline. That makes me think, like, okay, well, now it's only fair. Where's our sequel trilogy show? And no, you can't count Resistance. That show doesn't exist. But that's what I need. I need more Rose. I need more Finn. I need more Poe. I need more Rey.
See more Janna, honestly, because they teased it with Lando at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
I feel like Janna's going to be involved in Lando's show.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I'm hoping so. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I'd love that.
But alrighty, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Marianne, thank you so much for joining me on the Star Wars episode of the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
So tell the people again where they can find you and what you do on where they can find you.
Yeah, so I'm on TikTok at Screaming Namaste. I post a lot of nerdy things, especially about Star Wars, just different jokes, thoughts, cosplays. I do a lot of Padme cosplaying.
She's your favorite character.
No. She just has the best comedic material.
That's very true. It's very true.
I also do some Marvel stuff. I just started doing a watch through, so I've been posting some more Marvel content.
Oh, that's right.
Also.
You and just watched Thor 2, correct?
Yeah, awesome. I did.
Well, and you're a complete newbie to the MCU. I mean, you watched a few films going into it, but for anybody who's interested, who's listening to the podcast, hey, I said no Marvel content today. Here it is. She has been doing a watch through, and she gives a little review about each one, and this is like her first time getting to see all of the movies all the way through. So
yeah, and on top of the videos I do on TikTok, I also go live pretty much every night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. You've been joining me a lot recently as well.
Yeah. And it's been fun. We're actually doing a dual live right now, and we're gonna do another one probably later tonight. So that's really fun.
Yeah.
But alrighty, thank you again so much for joining me. Everybody, thank you so much for watching or listening wherever you're listening to it. That's gonna do it for today. Once again, I am your host, Stephen Austin. Marianne, thank you so much for joining me. And we'll see you next time for No Talking During the Movies. Bye, guys.